Father, we worship you. We thank you for our gathering together unto you. Unto you shall the gathering of your people be. Whatever nationality, all over the world, gathering is elect together for the translation. Lord, we thank you, Father. We worship you. Without any doubt, Lord, signs that you told us will be. Never any generation has seen so much signs like what we are having right now. Lord, when you see all these things, they look up. See, and lift up our heads, you know, our redemption breath now. And also, oh Lord God, you know, live for joy too, because the coming of the Lord breath now. So we thank you, Father, as we read the scripture this morning. Lord, bless the reading of your word. Father, in Jesus' name, our Lord, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I want to read just a few scriptures here. John chapter 4. That is 4 of John chapter 4, verse 34. And Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. So of course we know the story in John chapter 4, the woman at the well, how the disciples went to go and buy food and things like that. And the Lord in divine providence, that woman encountered the Lord in divine providence, the Lord encountered her. God for knew her before the war began, you know, and you know the what went through the discussion, and how that woman turned to the Lord and the whole village. So anyway, so they brought their food, and the Lord said, you know, has any man given to eat yet? No, he said, I have a meat. That's why this one came up anyway. Then John 6 verse 38, for I come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. It's like all over the place. Then verse 40 says, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which heareth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So why is he not talking about the will of God all over the place, you know? So it means that to give me something. So this morning, by the grace of God, so today, God's children, how do we know the will of God? Praise God.
Amen.
So how do we know the will of God? So the thing is this, how many of God's people today are even doing what the Lord did, seeking the Lord's will in everything we do? Mm. Now, I mean, how many people are looking for God's will, you know? Not to talk of his perfect. So this morning, how do we know God's will? So, and we just highlight them this morning. I don't want to spend too much time. So, number one, to be led of the Spirit. And we take from the Master himself, you know. So, to know God's will, as a Christian, one of the, you know, way to go is to be led of the Spirit of God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. When we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, there is no way it will lead you out of the will of God. You always lead into the divine will of the Almighty God. So being filled with the Spirit is some of those ways where we can know the will of God. To be led by the Spirit of God is to enjoy the most satisfying life possible for a human being to experience in this world. See? And yet many people want to run away from that will of God, you know. They don't know what they are missing really, you know. So now, how about the 12 disciples who followed the Lord? You know, he picked them one by one. Maybe a fisherman here, that over one there, and they follow him. So those 12 disciples of the Lord had the privilege of being daily led by the Lord Jesus during his earthly ministry. It goes without saying that the privileges enjoyed by this man exceeded that of any who ever lived upon this earth. That's right. All those 12 disciples, you know, even Judas even enjoyed that a little bit before he goes his own way. Bible says he went his own way, right? You know, before that. So nobody, the blessings of the Lord, God's leading, more than any other person before them at that time. Even the Lord commenting what I'm saying right now in Matthew 13, the 11th verse, the Lord corroborated what I'm saying right now. That this man, they enjoy, this privilege of being led of the Lord. And the Lord told them in Matthew 13, verse 11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given. They were asking Lord, the parable of the sower, right? And then they asked the Lord, why do you speak to them in parables, you know? to show you the privilege that they had and you and I now have today. So the Lord now replied to them, why put the people in a parable? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to others, not given. Can you see what you are enjoying and what you and I enjoy today? But blessed are your eyes for the see, and your ears for the hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets, see that, and righteous men have desired to see these things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear these things, those things which you hear, and they have not heard them. So that those same disciples at that time, what they were enjoying, as they followed the Lord and so on. So in this dispensation that we are living in, not only these 12 people I mentioned, but all believers today have the privilege of being led by the Holy Spirit. Every Christian has a privilege of being led by the Holy Spirit. The same very Spirit that led Christ. Can you even imagine? The same Holy Spirit was in Christ, is in you and I. In Acts chapter 15, Brother Peter even said to the people and so on, when they were trying to force them, Gentile Christians to behave, to live like the Jews, you know, the people that received the same Holy Ghost as we received, you know. So it's always thrilling to me that the Lord Himself dwelleth in us. In fact, we are told in Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, see, the same Holy Ghost, not Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost and so on, you know. So that same Holy Ghost dwelling, that was in Christ. And of course, so in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. See? For the Master Himself, in His humanity and so on, that, you know, He was both deity and man, and He was being led by the Spirit and so on. In John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the same Holy Ghost that you know that was in Christ, the disciples, is in you and I. That's why, you see, we are able to do what He said we are going to do, because He said that the thing that I do, not of myself, is the Father in me who does these things, right? So the same Holy Ghost is in us, doing the same thing that the Lord said He will do. Now, in the humanity of the Lord, we are told, see, He was both deity and also 100% man, 100% God, right? Here is what the Bible says about Him in Philippians. And He has to be led by the Spirit in His humanity, right? In Philippians 2:5. So we won't say, oh, the Lord is in His class of His own. No? So, but Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, see that He was deity, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We are further told in Hebrews 5:8, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the thing which He suffered. So we don't just put Him in this class, you know, because he is away in this world too and so on. He was led by the Holy Spirit and so on. So the Lord could have retained, when He came here, He didn't bring all the attributes of the deity that He had before the pre-incarnation. For example, He didn't even know, He said nobody know the day of the rapture. Not even His son, except my Father was in heaven and so on. Until He came back to the Father again. Anyway, the point is this. In all that the Lord did, was led by the Holy Ghost, right? So it follows therefore that we, who are His children, as well as that, you know, like Christ, we can enter into the divine will and be completely led by the Spirit. And when we do that, our life will become a success beyond our fondest hopes and dreams, when we yield to the Holy Spirit. So if you want to get to the will of God for your life, then be led daily by the Holy Ghost. In Galatians, we are told, walk in the Spirit. I believe 5:16 or something like that. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So walking in the Spirit is one way to always be in the will of God. So that's one way to enter God's will. Now, where we think we are successful in this world, I mean in Christ, it doesn't mean the world will see you as successful. Because people attribute something to flamboyancy, maybe to finances and things like that, you know, that's not the real success and something like that. Where, you know, for God's children, that's just, you know, on top of whatever, you know. You know, so what God calls success and so on, the world will not call success. Praise the Lord. Having food and raiment, praise the Lord. So be contented. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So let us know that. So when you say success in the heart, not mean that you have a $1 billion or you have $6 billion, not the gate or anything like that, you know. So anyway, so he told Joshua, right? I mean, this word of the Lord cannot be back on your mouth, right? Mm-hmm. You have to say day and night. Then shall thou make thy way
prosperous.
That shall have what? A good success. Was he a billionaire? Praise the Lord. So see the Spirit of God, more than good. Anyway, so being led of the Spirit will keep you all the time in the will of God. Another way to be in the will of God, to know God's will, is this. Be acquainted with the word of God. Be acquainted with the word of God. Even in the book of Job 22 and 21. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. See? When that God's word is dwelling in our heart, we are going to have peace. You know? Not only Job said that. Anyway, thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay his words in thine heart. So by letting God's word dwell in our heart, then it will lead us, to the perfect will of God. So now say the Lord Jesus himself. The family of the Lord Jesus Christ was very poor, where he was born in. How do we know that? So poor that Mary, as we are told in the Bible, was able to offer only 2 turtle doves for what the Lord called for when he was on the 8th day, right? I can't go to that scripture in Leviticus chapter 5. There we are told that they offer a lamb. That is the customary one, right? But if you can't afford a lamb, then you can use 2 turtle doves, and that's lamb pigeons, right? So they were so poor that, Mary and son, that, you know, they can only afford, they couldn't afford a lamb, I believe. So they were so poor and son, that, you know. So they used to, and God accepted it anyway. So that is in the book of Leviticus 5 and Luke 2:34, what I'm saying right now. So anyway, and also we know, 2 Corinthians, am I speaking whatever I don't know, in 2 Corinthians 8:9, for even the Lord himself, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty, by the rich he came here, he left all those glories in heaven. He, the creator of the universe, right? He left all and became like us, identified with us, right? I think that day I came and so on. So poor was he that the Lord was born in a borrowed manger, the creator of the universe. Born in a manger, no? He slept on a borrowed pillow. He preached from a borrowed boat, Luke 5, right? Simon Peter and so on, you know? The creator of all the end of the world. He rode into Jerusalem on a borrowed ass and coat, the Almighty God. See? Not only that, he had the Last Supper in a borrowed room. Tell his disciples, just go. When you go your way, you see a man with a water pot and so on. Tell him, whatever room he show you, tell him the master wants to have the Last Supper here. The man didn't refuse. The owner of the colony refused, praise God.
Hallelujah.
As he told them, he didn't see them, he just said that as you go, you will see them. They all know him, praise God. It was as he said. Amen, praise the Lord. So, and also, he was buried in a borrowed tomb. See, thank God Joseph, the Arimathea and some of that, you know, praise God. You know, the only thing that he owned was the cross. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. When his cross was his own, but there was one thing that the Lord had also in providence of God. What was it? The word. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. The creator of all things. Whether it is carcass, whether it is chambers or whatever houses and so on, all things were created by him and so on. That, you know? So he had the word. Not only was he had the word, he indeed was the word and he is the word of God. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Talking about I think God's divine, I mean you have to know his will, the word of God. So of course we know that in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among God, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the importance of God's Word, I mean, to know God's will, cannot be overemphasized, you know. Therefore, when the devil came to him, tempting him, meaning the Lord Jesus, and the Lord, you know, you're not going to look for a special revelation of wisdom from heaven. He is the Word of God. He has the Word of God, you know. But having the Word of God in his heart, he was able to refute and rebuke Satan's suggestion, talking about the Word of God, how to enter God's will, how to know God's will, and so on. Of course, in Luke 4:2, we saw what I'm talking about here, 4:2 of Luke. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days, meaning 40 days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he was afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that he be made bread. So we know what happened right there. Despite this temptation, the Lord refused to make bread for the devil. Didn't do it for him. Not even for his own hunger. Still fasting 40 days and so on. He didn't go to that temptation. Well, he had the Word of God. You know, he is the Word of God. He told him Luke 4:4. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Well, why the Lord will not make bread to supply his own hunger at that time, though he was fasting for 40 days, though he won't make bread for the devil, he made enough bread to feed over 5,000 people at one time, right? That's only the only one time. Another time, over 4,000 people. He fed, big bread, and some of that, you know. The Lord did all those things, but not for the devil. Mm-hmm. So, in seeking God's will, we must begin with the Word of God. I said all those things about the Word of God. So, in seeking God's will in anything, we must begin with the Word of God. Yeah, we are led by the Spirit, then the Word of God. So, and when in doubt of anything, we should always consult the Scriptures. You know, in knowing the will of God for us. And again, I'm saying that we just pray that these days, that many Christians will know the value of seeking God's will before we enter into anything, to commit unto the Lord and see whether it is God's will for our life. And this, here is how to know the will of God, being led by the Spirit, having the Word of God. One must not expect a special revelation until he has searched out any revelation already given. See that? People will leave what God has revealed already, looking for another revelation and so on to be there. And it leads to error. It leads to false doctrine, you know, and some of that, you know. So in looking for God's will, don't go and lay aside what God has already revealed. I'm looking for a special revelation. And this is all over in the Bible. We know Daniel the prophet, the popular one. Daniel the prophet who received some of the most of greatest revelation of all time, even till tomorrow, I mean, his prophet are still going to be still going on and so on. Talking about the coming of the Messiah, in Daniel chapter 9, all those things. And yet, at a time, you have to go and consult what the other prophets have written, you know. It's a continuous revelation. All the prophets that he sent and apostles, it's a continuous revelation of the same one eternal God, the same Word of God. So he quoted in the book of Jeremiah, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 1, in the fourth year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the fourth year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. He's not really a prophet, right? he said in one place, he said, prophets learn from prophets, amen? I'll leave it right there. I won't even say, prophets learn from prophets. I'll leave that right there. Anyway, and that he will accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. We are saying, don't go and look for a special revelation and leaving aside what God has revealed. I found that over the years, When God reveals something, those who refuse to go forward with the new revelation, who refuse the revelation, they won't go forward. That's what it is. Why should God give you more when you haven't used the one that He has already given you, you know? So in seeking God's will, you have to be very careful not to begin looking for a special revelation and searching for a new one when we haven't used or received what God has already given us. So no one can expect to live consistently in God's will unless he thoroughly familiarizes himself with the scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. No matter how wise that person may be, I read it again. No one can expect to live consistently in God's will unless he thoroughly familiarizes himself with the scriptures. Many people who miss the will of God and get themselves in awkward predicaments do so not because they have no divine revelation. This is the reason why they fail. Because they ignore divine revelation already given. It's hard to go forward in God. Once God has revealed something and one rejects it, it's hard to really to go forward, you know? Because it's a way within a way. Praise God. They all work together. So if you miss one, it's like you shoot an arrow forward and so on. If you miss the mark, you have to go back to where you miss it, right? And then start from there, you know? So in looking for God's way, so being led by the Spirit of God, and number two, the Word of God is so paramount, you know, and something like, you know. So especially God's children, have to have accepted what has done before you can really move forward to a new thing. It's remarkable how widely the Bible covers most of the things we need in the will of God have been revealed to us in the Bible, really, you know. If you look at how to look at them, I can name a few of them. So this information that God gave us in the Bible, they are not in alphabetical order like A, B, C, D, and so on. But in the Bible, so we have to search it out, really. And that is why the Lord told us in John or the Jews in 5:39, and that's another thing, laziness and so on, spiritual laziness, right? You have to search out the Word of God, you know. The Lord told the Jews in John 5:39, share the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. So this will of God, most of the things that we need to note in the Bible. But I'm not saying that you have A, B, C, and D. You have to search them out. So do you want to know, maybe in the New Testament, do you have to touch the New Testament? It's in the Word of God. Matthew, he told the Jew, those Pharisees and so on, you tie this and come and this and so on, that, you know. You start telling about, you know, and you neglect the law and something like that, you know. This, what you ought to do, and not to leave the order. In Hebrews 7, in Hebrews 7, 8, Bible says, Melchizedek, he received the tithe, he that, you know, of whom it is, that he lives, right? Just be one out. People want to know whether to forgive or something like that, God's will. But read the book, last week, we talked about we talk about Mark 11, you know, about faith and things like that, you know. So you want to move mountains and so on, you have to forgive before you can claim. You can't claim Mark 11:26 without doing 11:24 and 11:25. Praise the Lord. That's simple. Praise God. That's why many things don't work, you know, for God's children and so on. When they see something, they might say, ooh, you know, if I didn't keep 36 of Matthew, but they forgive, you know. So anyway, so God's will is already revealed in His Word. We have to search it out, you know. So that's one thing. And so we can keep on going on that. So to share the scripture entails labor. Paul said, I labor more than them all, right? Yeah, both spiritually. I mean, he knew the Old Testament in out. Amen? Praise the Lord. Pharisee of the Pharisees, right? Praise the Lord. Sharing scripture is labor. You have to search it out. You are searching something. You have to labor on it and so on. It's a work. But no one will ever have a clear knowledge of the divine will unless he thoroughly studies the Word of God. I know we are going to get to the passage of God and know God's will without living in that scripture. You have to live in it and so on, that, you know. So even David knew the secret. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Job said, receive the law out of his mouth and lay his words upon your heart. He told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, this word of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth. In it shall thou meditate day and night. So God's word is very important to be knowing what the will of God is, you know. So we are told in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God. What are you studying? Studying the word of God to show yourself approved, you know, unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So very, very important. Want to be in the will of God. So again, another problem is this. That people are not, I don't know if they really want to be in the will of God. Come to it later, you know. So being led by the Spirit of God, and then you know, live in the word of God, study the word of God, you know. So now another way to enter God's will, you know, is to be open to divine providence. You see, be open to divine providence. God is, you know, in your life and something like that, you know. Although the Bible covers generally the principles of daily living, there are problems of a nature that one has to find guidance in other ways. So yeah, we have the Bible and so on, the Holy Ghost is leading you and so on, you know. So that's what's called divine providence too, you know. So you have to be open to it. And one of the ways of, you know, of getting to God's way is divine providence. If God is leading, he will open the door for you, amen. If you want to go and do something for him, he will open the door that place for you. Praise the Lord. That's divine providence, right? So, and the Lord Jesus, being the good shepherd, he told us in John 10:4, he said, I'm the good shepherd. Verse 4, he said, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So, and, you know, if God is calling us to a walk, he will open the door for us. Amen? Now, for your divine project idea. So be open to that. Answer to that, you know. When he calls you, something that you have to do, then if it is the Lord, he will make a way for you. He open the door for you. So that, be open to that one also. Divine providence in your life. Right here, you know, many people make mistakes in this, what I'm talking about right now, you know. Sometimes people are possessed with ambition to do some big things, like you talk about 30,000 people, 30,000 congregation and something like that, you know. They know they have great ambition, you know, to do something for God, right? Something big. And when God did not open the day for them, they move in the flesh, right? They quit the spirit and the word of God. See, they had a big ambition, right? And when God also opened the door for them, they want to go in the flesh. And they go into error and all kind of things. So they launch into a big program, and then they fail. As far as God is concerned, it's failure, you know. So it happened like that and so on, you know. So in a desperate effort now to succeed, these people, some actually became dishonest, you see. Misappropriating the money they got that came in, you know, into their hands. And there are others who try to move with the doors shut against them. So you see, when God doesn't open the door for them, they force their way in, right? And they will become dishonest, you know. So because, you know, God is not God's will for them, right? They go their own way. So we have to be open to divine providence and let God, you know, one of the ways to enter God's way are to open your mind to divine providence. When God doesn't open the door, don't force your way in the flesh, right? So let us take note of that. Now, God can also live by spiritual intuition. Sometimes it comes to your heart, you know, by intuition, just know it, that it is the Lord and so on. God does that too. Be open. If you are walking in the Spirit and you are, you know, living in the Word of God, so don't be surprised. And maybe you have said it many times, all of us have done that before. You don't know, you say, Lord told me. Yeah, you can speak by audible voice. That's right. So by intuition, God does it and so on. Spiritual intuition is yet another means by which God leads his people. Some call this inward witness. Some people say that. Inward. Yeah, that's right. God can do that too. And he does it too. I believe all of us here or people have experienced it one way or the other. And so the Lord told me, yes, he can speak to you audibly too, you know. Audible voice. God can do that too, you know. So, talking about audible voice and the inward witness, we have to be careful here a little bit and so that, you know. We must check all this with the word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So no matter how strongly you feel of an inward witness and whatever, or you hear a voice, you must compare it with the word of God. There are many, many voices, right? And there's none without signification, right? So we know that. So and that back to the word of God again, you know. So yeah, God used those things We know inward weakness, he uses it, he uses the voice, and you can hear his audible voice and some of that, you know. But when you hear those things, must be compatible to the word of God. So, because why? God does not have no different voices, say contradicting things and so on. God is not the author of confusion, right? But the author of peace, as in all the churches of God. So, whatever, how God leads, if God is leading you, check with the scriptures, they must match. So, if it contradicts just one scripture, just no matter how convinced you are, praise the Lord, get out of it, praise God. God cannot lie, see, so, so let me just wrap up here. It's very, very short thing, but number one, it will force us, first of all, to make sure we are seeking God's will in all we are doing. Praise God. Don't just go anyhow. Make sure whatever we do, commit all things to the hand of the Lord. Then number two, when you are doing that, how do you know A or B or C is the will of God? Then we enter to this thing. Be led by the Spirit of God, hear God's word, you know, are the most important thing. There are many Christians who understand what I'm saying this morning, and you know, some are well versed in the scriptures. We know that, you know. They can also point to definite instances in which divine providence has been manifested in their life. All I believe every Christian should have a testimony, you know. There is no doubt that God has spoken to them supernaturally on occasions, yes. Nevertheless, there are times when these people seem to miss the will of God altogether, indeed, in such a way as to get themselves to profound difficulties, even despite all the guidance, we have to be consistent, right? You know, so not just following the Lord yesterday, and then today we are doing our own, you know. So we have to be consistently, you know, doing what we say, being led by the Spirit, listening to the Word of God, comparing it with the Word of God, and so on, you know. So when they get into this trouble, what happened? What has gone wrong in India? The Lord said something in John 7:17, and I read it. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, right? Whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. So a man can know the will of God in any matter, if he is fully willing to do the divine will. That's right. God will reveal to you if people are willing to do God's will. In the back, that's what the Lord said here. No. Secondly, the Lord even applied this to his own self. It shows that it was possible for even him to speak the mind of God or his own human mind. You know, he said, he shall know whether I, Jesus, speak of myself. So, you know, very, very important. The fact that his own self and so on, you know. So, the great difficulty lies in this. The fact that people, very, very important now, people want very much to do certain things irrespective of God's plan for them. They just want to do it, like last man I see I'm talking about, you know. They just want to do things irrespective of the will of God. That's the problem that people are having and some of that, you know. And so in that state of mind, they are unable to ascertain the will of God. If you are going to force your way, then you are going to get confused, right? No, you must be flexible. You must be able to say, Lord, thy will or nothing be done. See, even what to do, that will be done, right? Not only in the world, but even in my own life, right? Very, very important. So it is important that we get quiet before the Lord, equally willing to take or not to take a certain course, equally ready to go or to stay. That is the one that God will reveal his will to. Don't go one way as they are, you know, so you must be that way. Ready to take or not to take a certain step in your life. And ready to go or to stay, depending on how you wait upon the Lord. This thing takes waiting upon the Lord. We are in a critical hour now, Lord. A critical hour in the issue of this world and so on, that, you know. We need to be intimate. Bible says, acquaint yourself with the word, you know. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be led by the Holy Spirit. So here is the error of Balaam. Yeah, we're coming up in our series this Balaam thing and so on. So I won't mind to go very quickly again. How people just they want to do their own way, right? You know. So let's take Balaam. We end with Balaam right here, you know. I am coming up lately. Anyway, here it is where Balaam made his fatal mistake. Messenger from Balak came to Balaam with the reward of divination in their hands. That is, curse God's people and get this word and things like that, you know that. So, the king, wanted Balaam to come and curse the children of Israel. That's the story, right? Balaam saw the Lord. Now, watch it now. He saw the Lord concerning the matter, right? And God gave him a definite answer. Definite answer. What was this in Numbers 22, verse 12? See? Yeah. You see, a good prophet, he was even willing to know the will of God, like many Christians and some of that, you know. And here what happened in verse 12 of Numbers 22. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not call the people, for they are blessed. How simpler can it God make it? Something that, you know. But what happened to this later Arlene prophet? Nothing could be clearer than that. I mean, God made it so plain. But take Balak now, set more princes than he did before. Then Balak saw the Lord the second time. Will God change his mind? You see, say, and the Lord has changed his not, right? So, and people do that a lot, you know? Because even something has played in the Bible, again, why are you looking for another revelation? Because you want to go your own way, right? You know? So we have to be very careful of these things and so on. So, second time he saw the Lord, he should have known that, God will not change his mind. He is God, right? So eventually what happened to him? So God let him go his way, right? You know, he went his way. And we know he didn't go well with Balaam. So we know that. So God allows many people to do things simply because they want to do that rather than to be in the will of God. The fact that people fear the Lord, they fear that, oh, if I ask God for his will, it will make me do what I don't want to do. That's right. Absolutely, you know. I think I used to hear missionaries in those days. You don't want to come to Africa, right? So, I mean, people from here especially, you know. But they don't want to come to Africa. So they are afraid God will send them to Africa to go and preach, you know. So it happened that way. So let me read this again. So people fear the law. We ask them to do things that they do not want to do. It's the very reason they do not seek the Lord's will in the first place, you know. So God's will. What they fail to see is that look, God, it's a blessing. But I first say God and I can't even word it. I'm putting it in the God's will, right? So what will God have you do that will not be a blessing to you? I don't know if it's in this universe. Praise the Lord. Because they are ignorant of God's word. That's another reason. They are ignorant of God's word, you know. It's even an honor for God to ask you to come and do something. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let us just put that away. So, I mean, a very small time here this morning with the word of God. So anyway, so this is one of the greatest mysteries of the Spirit of God. We are told in Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. When you obey him, he's the one who will even help you to accomplish that which he told you to do. We are even told in one place, when we have done all that which you are know, which is commanded of us, let us say we are unprofitable servants, right? Praise the Lord. So it is the Lord himself, you know, working in you. So, I mean, we are co-laborers together with the Lord, you know. So, here then is the summary of what I'm saying this morning about first of all, we must make sure that in whatever we do, the Lord said in John, I think 5:19, I believe it is, I do nothing but what the Father shows me, right? Now what is that? And the Bible says, the Father has sent me, so I have sent you also. It's enough for his servant to be like his master, right? So even in this way, you know, even being able to say, Lord, whatever we do, every step we take, let us line up. Lord, is it the will of God? So then this will be very well. So in summary, so here is the key to being in the perfect will of God. In summary, instead of dreaming up plans with a natural mind and then trying to persuade God to help us carry them out, we should wait prayerfully upon him until he waits in us. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, instead of dreaming up plans with a natural mind, right? and then trying to persuade God to help us carry them out. We should rather wait prayerfully upon Him until He, the Lord, waits in us.
Praise the Lord.
So, people will have their own agenda. Now, don't forget that the intuition that God may be in at some, but the thing is this, when you have got those inner voice and witness, it must still line up with the Word of God. You see, that is the thing, you know. So, in all of these things, so then, although the suggestion truly comes from the Lord and so on, the intuition and so on, we must still compare everything with the Word of the Lord. So that is the thing. You are led by the Spirit of God. Then you are in the Word of God. You live in the Word of God. These are the fundamental things and so on that keep you in the will of God. Now, there will be something that on time that will not fall in the line where you didn't hear a voice. You didn't find the right answer from the Bible. Yeah, you can be that situation before. I've been there before, you know. So you don't know. You didn't see. You had not have the direct answer from the Scripture. What do you do at that time? That's what you do at that time. So, sometimes, however, in spite of all I said this morning, of our seeking the will of God, we are not still sure whether a certain course is God's will for us. I have been there many, many times, you know. I saw the Lord and so on. What do you do? In that case, we should daily submit the matter to Him in prayer. Amen? And I'm telling you, it will come through for you, it will come through for me. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. You couldn't see a particular scripture for what you are looking for, probably, and some of that, you know. So you don't know whether it is the will of God. And we are there all the time. What do you do? So day by day, lay before the Lord in prayer. So a life lived in the will of God is the happiest and fullest life that is possible for a human being to ever attain to. So when you can't get it directly, so begin to do it. That's not repetition of prayer, you know. So, I told you of the other night, I told of one man who for 1 year told the Lord whether to open an orphanage or not. 1 year, he was waiting upon the Lord, right? I think it was George Muller, somebody that I know. He waited for 1 year. And because it was a big project, right? And he didn't get a direct answer, but keep it laid before the Lord every day in prayer. Eventually, Israel said that man, that brother, in the end of his orphanage, $7 million. That's in those days, right? Are you saying $7 million in those days? Pass through his arm for those orphanages. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us understand the importance. He said, commit that way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. And He will bring it to pass. He will direct your way. Lord, so we thank you this morning. So God's children know that, first of all, we know the importance of putting everything in the hand of the Lord. And that, number two, that we know, Lord God, to seek the will of God. And we have seen in a little bit this morning, this not all the way, that being led by the Spirit of God and the Word of God and being attuned with the Lord. Acquaint yourself in Him, and let His word lay upon your heart. So help your children this hour, this late hour, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Also be in the perfect will of God, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that, Lord God, the Bible says Enoch was translated. Why? Because by faith was translated. Before his translation, he had a testimony that he pleased God. How can we please God outside of God's will? Just impossible. So therefore, help your children, help us this day, O Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know your burden is light, and your yoke is easy, Lord. Everything you ask of us is for our benefit, in the name of the Lord Jesus. So because we are not of this world, we are in it, we are not of this. So we thank you for reading of your word this morning as we go, Lord God, day by day. You are perfecting all that which concerns us, transforming us from glory to glory, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes. All right. Praise the Lord.